Blog Talk Radio.
Evening to all those who have called in. Hope some folks are there. This is your host, Kalini Yee, and we're here to deal with a particularly interesting subject. Again, we apologize for Blog Talk. We always seem to get in a few minutes late because of technical difficulties, and that's just the way things are rolling. Everybody keeps telling me Mercury in retrograde and things like that. Mercury's so fast, it's always retrograde. But we're here now. Well, hope everybody made it through the, been on a lot of people's plate for the last few days. People have come on to the Facebook and all the other social media constructs and have basically, you know, bragged about how they watched the sun without, you know, without having a you know, the glasses or any type of protection, and they didn't go blind from what they say. So, hey, I'm very happy for you that going blind, and that's a good thing. But you know, damage is not very grievous according to where you were, how much exposure you had. Well, it's a lot of factors. It could be up to 2 weeks before you find out whether you have damaged your eyes or not. And that's a precarious situation to be in. So hopefully everybody's okay. Hopefully there's been no difficulties with anybody. I myself, I wasn't going to stare up there at the sun. I know some people are talking about that they, you know, that they faked the eclipse and there was a hologram and things like that. I don't think so. Some other folks have talked about that it may have been Nerebu or some other extraterrestrial vehicle, and I don't know why an extraterrestrial vehicle would come according to plan of them putting together something on this massive scale, you know, or I guess mind control, or to show that they have the technical ability of viewing the cosmos and predicting eclipses, you know, something they've been doing for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. I don't see the reason for it. You know, what are they trying to impress somebody? I don't know, but the reality generating without the question mark. The question mark is now, reality generators. What are the reality generators? Well, from my vantage point of the utilization of high-dose entheogens, the reality generators are those computers, when I say computer for lack of a better word, not the computers that we have here or have even in our thoughts thought about. far as a computer is concerned. We're talking about something that's absolutely magical in its abilities to generate realities, being able to generate houses and cars and dogs and human beings and all of the things in our universe, galaxies, suns, stars, planets, all of these things. How would something like this be done by a piece of technology? Well, you have to look at the exponential growth of just the technology of which we have here today. You know, if we look at the Wright brothers' first flight, then we look at some of the aircraft that we have now in a very period of time, you can see the ability of exponential growth and just really a little over 100 years. And that time is being compressed. The technology is moving forward exponentially. But if you take a technology that is billions and billions and billions of years older than the technology that you see, then it's a whole different ball game. It's a whole different way of viewing reality. So when we think about these types of things, who we are, what we are, where we come from, these are the eternal questions. These are the questions of the gods. You know, if you've always been and always will be, where did you come from? Where did you start? How did you start? That's a mind-boggling thought. The areas of information that we have are only accessible by certain technologies, the certain technologies of the heart, the technologies of the mind and consciousness. These are the tools. This is the hardware of the reality generating. This is the hardware of those things that create reality and all the things that we see and all the things that we focus on and all the things that we are. If we can understand or move towards a place of being able to view this and understand it from the vantage point of being embedded in a particular reality and trying to think outside of that particular reality that you're embedded in. It's like when people say, this is unnatural, or this is not part of nature, or this is, how are you going to have something that's not part of nature and we're embedded in nature? No matter what you have is part of nature, you know. The earth doesn't have prejudices about what we think the earth would like and wouldn't like because of what we like and think that the earth would like. You know, I think it was George Carlin who said that, you know, the earth may like plastic and styrofoam, and our only purpose in being on the earth was to generate what we call trash for the earth, but it's something that the earth likes, you know. So shout out to George Carlin in the multiverse, one of my favorite comics, because he was more than a comic. He talked about things that were definitely on point as far as the mundane governments and things like that and the mindset of the people that are on the planet today, especially in the United States. Narrow point of view. And that spills over into the UK and Australia and all the other places who have aligned themselves with the United States, the United Nations and things like that, who all try to think the same and all try to be the same as far as consumerism and things like that. You know, I was just in Hungary, outside of Budapest, earlier this month. And one thing I found, or one thing I saw, and this is not a subject, but one thing I saw was the lack of obese people, the lack of fat people. The people walked, they ate real food, they had food that was fermented, they ate a lot of yogurts, I mean real yogurt, not smooth Yoplait. I'm talking about yogurt with clunks in it and clumps in it that, you know, was live. They walked, they rode bikes, and they had a much more vigorous lifestyle than the average American, and they didn't have to go to the gym, you know. If they had coffee, it was real coffee, black, you know. If they had sugar, it was one lump, not 18, you know, right up to the driver window, give me 18 sugars and 7 creams. That's not coffee. That's sugar with cream, with sugar and cream. And it went with all the other things. I was in Mexico last month. And in Mexico, you know, people ate food that they were growing. You know, they had a lot of gardens. They had a lot of, you know, and this is outside of the city. And one thing that was interesting to me, you know, they said, well, you know, we have a custom here. We eat bugs. And I said, well, you know, that's a nice custom. And, you know, they handed me a bag, it looked like to me a bag of roaches. And I said, well, I mean, I'm not one to break the custom. I'll try some. And so I looked at the roaches or whatever they were, whatever kind of bug they were. And in my looking through the bag there, I was, you know, looking for legs and the head or whatever. I don't know how they prepared them. I didn't, you know, I'll eat bug, but I didn't want to eat bug ass. So I was looking for a piece with the hide on it. So I ate a couple of bugs, you know. We eat bugs all the time. They just ground up in our flour and meal and oatmeal and cereal and things like that. You can have so many parts per million of bugs in there. So I figure I've been eating bugs all my life. And just to eat a whole one, you know, it's kind of like eating chicken hash or eating some type of burger or something like that ground up, as opposed to eating a piece of meat this whole or chicken this whole. And although I'm a vegetarian, I haven't had any meat and chicken or anything like that in a very, very, very long time. I understand the process, and we're just trying to convey a point. But back to our prime subject, the reality-generating computers. Once you get so small and get down under several levels of magnitude into the subatomic realms, particles organize and they self-organize. That means that life itself, building upon itself, becomes sentient and conscious. That's how we build the macro world, of which we, an illusionary faction and action, exist in. We build this from the subatomic realms, from below the atom. You know, when we, as I've been talking before, you start Googling up on FemtoTech, on Fermi, which is 10 to the negative 15. This is the size of the nucleus of the atom, quarks and gluons, things like that, which is very, very small. Now, that's orders of magnitude, of course. Beyond that, and I always talk about the Planck length, and beyond the Planck length, of which theoretical science cannot go past Planck length in their equations or in their thought, but the human consciousness, mind, body, spirit, hardware, software, energetic, powerful brain, mind, interface, computer can access these very, very tiny realms of existence where the super servers exist, where these servers that generate the reality that we exist in are created. And in that creation, in that creative mode of these super subatomic particles organizing, self-organizing, there's a way to view this in real time. There's a way to see it. There's a way to become one with it. The mushrooms that I always talk about, and I always talk about mushrooms, they're my favorite entheogen, favorite psychedelic. DMT is wonderful. Just a roller coaster ride at the amusement park. It's great, but not quite long enough to do meaningful work. Ayahuasca, great, but still comes up short. I know that's the flavor of the week for everyone. Ayahuasca, 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 and ayahuasca is wonderful. But the tourist doses that most people have taken have not gotten you to where the original people who took these compounds went to in the places that they reached. It was very, very hard to get enough ayahuasca in you, even driving it down to get into the fully immersive experiences that you can on the DMT that's contained within the mushroom. The toad, which I've been experiencing here lately, is also one of those compounds that can deliver a very profound experience. It's magical, and it's not really even visual. It is a state, a feeling. I say it feels like the first 15 minutes of death when you're dead, where you go to when you die, the way you cognize reality when you die. You're just, you know, but it's a blissful feeling. So it's great. It's a wonderful compound. You should try some toad, kiss the frog, prince, become the fairy princess, rescue her from the dragon, those type of things. All embedded in that before the dinosaur paradigm of the toad. But mushrooms are something that is still on the top of the pyramid because it is beyond this three-dimensional, five-sense reality, four-dimensional construct that we exist in. Because we say three-dimensional, but we actually living in four dimensions in this time construct because you never went anyplace and met anybody unless it was at a particular time. So you have the three dimensions, and then you have time. So why are you talking about time? Why are you talking about space, up, down, left, right? All of these things are part of reality that we exist in, and we're talking about generating reality. The computers we're talking about are so fast because at those levels of the infinitely small, the magnitude of the infinitely small is that the particles are so much closer together. And the density of what can be packed into the very, very small, when you're using very, very, very extremely small particles, is mind-boggling, even in dealing with the mathematics of just setting up numbers of what these things can do. they can locate. If we're just talking about the Earth, and we're just talking about the Earth here, we haven't even went past that yet. For each grain of sand in every desert on Earth, they can locate, position, count every blade of grass that exists on Earth. And they can do it and count those particles of sand since the beginning of sand on Earth. Every person, everything that exists everywhere in all space and time in this universe can be positioned by these computers. They know where every particle is. Everything that exists, they know where it is, how long it's been. So this is the type of computer that I'm talking about. I'm talking about something that is beyond the comprehension of those folks who are supposed to be studying these things. What does that mean? That are scientists, that are physicists, that are string theorists, that are into dealing with this, need to take some mushrooms so they can deal with it real time. You know, I'm an advocate for extremely novel states of consciousness, being able to go into the void, into the weird, into the unexplainable. People talk about adventure and courage and being able to dance with the old ones, with the ancients, being able to dance with those of the future, being able to dance with the mystery. And it's all available to you here. It's all, I mean, we set it up so that we have access, so that we will remember the mnemonic devices that are here. It's everywhere. The universe is made of information. Everything that you can think of is information, no matter whether it's physical, metaphysical, whether it's in the very, very large or the very, very small, whether it's going to exist tomorrow or whether it's going to exist a million years from now or existed a million years in the past. I'm talking about access, talking about being able to understand on just the basic levels, those things that are here to be read. We read the trees, we read the rocks, we read the sky, we read the earth, whispers wind. It's all an open book. Nature is an open book if you have access and are put into the right mindset to be able to receive the information that's around us everywhere, because everything contains everything. So what do we do? Where do we go from here? What's the next step? The next step is off and out of the humans, being able to access our genetic structure, being able to recode the human into something different, something more, something else. Recoding, degenerating reality, stepping off on the angle. See, being a martial artist, I understand angles. A traditional martial artist, I understand angles. It's not just punching and swinging and hitting and those type of things. It's so much more. But martial artists, poets, you know, they're artists are letting us down because they're not going in. They're not bringing back the things that they should be bringing back. I'm an explorer. I'm not worried about bringing them back. I know the earth is going to be here a long time after the human on it is gone. So the earth is not one of my biggest concerns. I know the earth will be here. Now, the people on it may not be here, but the earth will be here. So the guy in line, the internet from mycelium that binds and connects the planet together in a cognizant, in a consciousness, in a mind that is so much more than the sum total of its parts. The sum total of the parts never equals the whole, because there's always that mystery of consciousness and life. Consciousness is a mystery. You know, we don't know what it is, no more than we know what electricity is. We know what electricity does. We know how to manipulate it on certain levels. But we don't know what it is, because that's the mystery. We know what water does. We know we need it. But we don't know what water is, and we can't make no water. You want to impress me? Make some water from nothing. Because everything that exists was made from nothing. And then there's no such thing as nothing, because everything is something, even those things that are nothing. Go on. What is the sound of one hand clapping? What did you look like before you had a face? Oh, you know, back old school. When we look at Peru, the falcon, he flies high. His eyesight is sharp. The winged avenger. Because we have, in the midst of all the harmony and love and those type of things, we have conflict. We have malevolent energies and creatures. We don't know what we're in, but we don't know what we're in. We don't know what we're doing. And, of course, I'll be the first one to tell you that I don't know where I am and I don't know what I'm doing. But at least I'm searching, you know. I have access to a car and some maps, and I'm riding around here trying to find this the place and that place. What are you doing? Do you have your map? Do you have your vehicle, your car? And when I say car, I'm talking about your craft. Are you a member of the craft? Have you built your craft, your transdimensional, interdimensional craft, to be able to sojourn the multiverse and the microverse through macroscopy and microscopia, being able to see into the very, very small, like Kerry Mullins, looking at the elementary particles and how they worked, or Neil Tyson, looking at the universe. So much for us to be able to experience once a month, a once a month cruise, a once a month trip, or once a month vacation into the multiverse. You owe it to yourself to take the time to learn the techniques, to produce your mushrooms, to consume your mushrooms, and to travel into to travel into those exotic places, those places that are dark, those places that are far, those places that seemed inaccessible, no way in. And when you finally get in, no way out. But you finally get out. The things and places that I could tell you about And one night we'll have a show where I just tell you about my excursions and the places I've went and the places I've been, the creatures and entities that I've encountered, the places I've fought my way out of, have to fight my way in. These are the journeys of an entheogenic explorer, and that's the name of our show. Officially now, Entheogenic Explorer. Exploring the entheogens to explore all that exists, all that is, all that will be, and all that has been. Mushrooms at what we call high dose. We don't really know what high dose is because the mushrooms have come to us at such a good and really slick way of taking it. In other words, it's hard. You can't kill yourself with it. It ain't like some of the other things that you take a teaspoon too much or, you know, two seeds too many, and you'll be permanently in the trip and the multiverse, you know. But that's not something to worry about. We got a time construct on dealing with death, because a person that dies, even though they're no longer with us, by the time they get there and turn around, we're already there with them. It's kind of like, you know, moving out at the speed of light, and the planet is rotating at its same velocity and moving at its same speed. By the time you come back, it may be 100 years that has passed, and everybody you knew is gone, dead, and buried because you were moving out at the speed of light and came back off your trip. It's the same kind of scenario. There's a bit of a difference in the reversal, but by the time the person that dies, if you have a person that has passed in your family or a loved one or whatever, and you're worrying about or wondering about them, by the time they hit the ground and turn around, you're already there. You just don't realize that you're there now anyway. So you're all still together. But it goes in families. This is a family thing. Everybody that's real has a family. But inside of that family, you still have your own self. And I said everybody is real because everybody that you know, everybody that you see is not real. They're a construct for variety inside of the matrix. It's like kind of like the woman in red. Guy said, well, I made her because she looked good, looked nice, and I like looking at her because she looked nice. That's why I made her. She ain't real. Be real, like many of the people that you know appears to be real. You set up scenarios for yourself to remember, to find the keys, to access the libraries. We know where the keys are. We have found the keys. We're not looking anymore. We're not looking for the answer. We know the answer. We just have to have the courage to be able to accept the answer. We can't let them buffalo us out of developing the answer, because entheogens is not a one-time quick fix movement to that everything's fine, that everything's all right. It's not the quick fix to enlightenment. You still have to work, regardless of what the folks say. Well, you're just trying to shortcut spiritual, you know, a spiritual discipline. No, you need a lot of discipline to take entheogens and hold on to who you are, what you are, your purpose and goals for taking the entheogens in the first place. It's not something that's fun. It's not fun to me. It can be. You can have some fun in there, you know. Being a martial artist, you know, I instead of fighting, you know, Fred Cox at the martial arts tournament in the senior division, black belt masters, you know, what about fighting something like the Borg or Werewolf or Galactus from the Marvel Universe or, you know, that's a martial artist's dream, you know, to be able to contend against beings of power and have your power and have your weapons there with you. And sometimes your weapons are so powerful you can actualize them on Earth. So they're here waiting for you, kind of like our crystals that we, you know, delivering to the people who have already found out about their crystals and are reforming their crystals, be it the transdimensional quartz crystals or the Yingyinzu crystals, which we both have. And if you're a person who's supposed to have one of these crystals, you'll have it because it's yours. It was formed for you. Came here with you. You made it. You buried it in a hole to get later on. It came up out the hole and it's here waiting for you. So don't despair. Don't fret. Time is on your side. Even though you think we only have a short time, in which we do, we have a short time. You know, you put your quart in the machine, it don't stay on forever. It stays on for a little while. You either win or lose the game, then you got to put in another quarter. Or that's, you know, dime back in the days of Playland and things like that when they only had pinball machines and a couple of shoot 'em up games, not like they have now. No telling where I'd be if I had an iPad back in 1965. That would have been great. I wouldn't even be here now. Mushrooms, iPad, access to Google, not having to go to the library with the Dewey Decimal System and looking up in the card catalog and walking down the stacks and going to the spot where the book's supposed to be and somebody stole it. 6 to 7 months ago because it was a rare book and you thought you could get it, but it wasn't happening because it was already gone. Going all the way down, ride your bike down to the library, catch the bus down to the main library and go down in them stacks and just go through the archives. Now libraries are becoming extinct and obsolete. There'll be, of course, a main library with books in it, but the access of books, you know, when I was young, you know, you're not having those things anymore. They don't have the things at the library they used to have. I know in my town, city, Detroit, there's a street called Mound Road. Right at Mound Road, 7 Mile, there was a burial pyramid there. And they had the artifacts of that pyramid at the library right down the street from where the pyramid stood. They called it Prairie Mound. And I used to go down and look at the artifacts. I have pictures of them somewhere around that I can't locate now because it's been quite a while since I took those pictures. And they are somewhere in my archives. And I'm going through things and hopefully I'll run across them. But that was a great thing and a great find. And, of course, they're no longer there. The artifacts, the little statues and things that they pulled out that pyramid, Olmec type of statues in those poses of kneeling down and things like that, like the comedic poses. And those artifacts are gone. They don't even have people who remember that they were in there because they took them and archived them somewhere in, one of the museums or maybe down in the basement of the third floor, sub basement of the library, and things like that. You know, because they will protect those books and artifacts and things like that. Money doesn't mean anything. That's just paper. You know, they just use that to incur debt. You know, but those artifacts and relics and statues and things like that, under the influence of the mushrooms, you see what those things were used for by our ancient ancestors. Who are us? You have to see them statues speak and move and talk and things like that. And the beings that are in the statues step out of the statues into your environment, and you have conversation with them, lessons from them. Or going into the statue, into the world of the beings of which the statue was carved from, and dealing with, you know, the world of which that statue is a representation of. The same with masks. In masks, there are places you put the mask on under the influence of your entheogen, and it projects out the eyes of the ancestors, the environment from which the mask was created in and from. When you speak with the voice of the ancestors and the language of the ancestors of which time the mass was created, encoded, and utilized for access into the world of which the mass is a representation of, a representation of a particular world of the ancestors. So, as I say before, and I say again, these are places, that these places are accessible. You have your Cenobite puzzle box, and you want to go visit the Cenobites. They're not cheery creatures, but I know that there's somebody somewhere that's going to go to Toys R Us, buy a Cenobite puzzle box, and try it. If you are a strong constitution, if you got some information with you and a few weapons, you can traverse those worlds of the Hellraiser, because Hellraiser didn't come from the movie. The movie came out of Sojourns into that world. It's kind of like the guy who Geiger, who created the alien. They said, "Wow, Geiger, you sure are. You have a vivid imagination on creating these creatures. See, I ain't creating these creatures. These are creatures that exist already. I just see them and write down what I see." What you think the alien is not a real thing? Think the predator is not a real thing? All of the things that you've seen in the movies and the comic books, the novels, all of those things are real. Now, you can say this is a personal thing because, you know, you can say it's a personal thing, that something that Kalindi's seen and has seen, yes, it's a personal thing. But the thing about what I do and I say is that here's something you can go see for yourself. You ain't got to take my word for it. Don't believe nothing I say. It was kind of like great brother Bobby Emmett would say. He would say, "Don't follow me nowhere. I ain't got but one eye working on my stove. The back little eye." So look, your house is not a home. There ain't nobody living there. Your ancient relics are not powerful unless you're utilizing them. If they came to you, they were supposed to be with you. You know, I'm talking about the real stuff, not the fake stuff. African World Festival was this weekend. You had a few, and the rest was just cheap junk. The technologies that we use so that we are recognized when we go into these realms of the self-generating reality computers, when we go into these things, they recognize real game, recognizes game. They don't recognize them Chinese print dresses and Chinese print danshikis. Not dashiki, danshiki. They don't recognize that. They recognize the woven cloth, the old patterns, the old symbols. They say, that's one of us. Look at the technology where it comes. Clothing is a technology also. It's not if you're behind covered. Not just to cover your nakedness. That's for the children. Adam and Eve, why do you say you're naked? You're not supposed to know you're naked. Cover your nakedness. That's not what the clothing was for. The clothing was to recognize who you are, what you are, where you come from. When you see the Kemetic clothing, you know, them the Egyptians. The Kemetui. Symbols you hold in your field of energy. Take mushrooms, high dose mushrooms, and look at your arms. Look at your thighs. Go to a mirror and look at the living symbols that are in your org field, in your energy body. That's the stuff that you are, not this gross flesh. The force, young light worker, Luke. You walk the sky. You're not this flesh. You're the symbols that organize the subatomic particles in the infraparticle intelligence realm that creates the macro you and your body. You are a master of time. You are a master of space. You are the star walker. The Skywalker, the Zulu. Shout out to the spirit of my good friend, Dick Gregory, who moved a step up on the rung, stepped off into the realm of the ancestors. And, you know, Dick became harder and harder as he moved on, as he got older. He became hardline. He didn't straight no chaser. Didn't care what nobody thought. He was breaking it down. We had a talk one time about, we were talking about the 60s, Ronald Reagan, because Ronald Reagan is one of the folks who, against psychedelics, because the psychedelics changed behavior. It changed the way we view the world and the reality that we exist in. And Ronald Reagan was against, of course, he was against homosexuality, he was against psychedelics, he was against all of these things that came out in California in Haight-Ashbury, area of San Francisco, you know, but of course we know they scapegoated Charles Manson. I'll be the first to tell you Charles Manson is absolutely nuts and crazy, but Charles Manson should not be in jail for the Tate and the Blanca murders. But that was the catalyst to be able to demonize LSD, the psychedelic movement, and start later on the war on drugs, which was actually the war on consciousness and consciousness expansion, you know, because there were several people that were supposed to be at those parties. Jay Sebring is the one man who discovered Bruce Lee at the Long Beach International karate tournament, got him the part of Kato. Bruce Lee was supposed to be at the Tate LaBlanca murders that night, but somebody, for some reason, veered him off from it, because they figured if Bruce Lee was there, Bruce Lee, you know, chopped them all up and kicked them in the head and all that kind of stuff. So they got Bruce Lee out of the way because he had to sacrifice Rosemary's baby or Sharon Tate's baby, you know, because that was, you know, that was Rosemary's baby. But we'll get to that at a later show. We'll deal with, you know, Ronald Reagan and Sal Mineo getting turned out by James Dean, and Rock Hudson on the set of Giant and being Ronald Reagan's little friend and all that kind of stuff, and Sal Mineo being killed and because of the Ronald Reagan connection. And, you know, Dick Gregory told me face-to-face that his friend, one of his best friends, you know, best friend was Larry Flint of Hustler magazine. And once Larry Flint got shot, he got dirt on everybody, bought dirt on everybody. He bought a videotape of Ronald Reagan standing on a table in high heels, black fishnet stockings, garter belt, bra, with a artificial erect phallus inserted in his rectum, and he gave that copy of the tape to Dick Gregory. Dick Gregory said it was so hot, that tape was so hot, they was looking for him. He said he threw it in the Potomac and got rid of it because he didn't want that much heat on him. He didn't have the bodyguards and things like that that Larry Flint had on him. But we'll get into that when we get into our 60s. era, you know, and we get into Ken Kesey and we get into the Mary Pranksters and the acid test, and this is the 50th anniversary of the Summer of Love, you know, Moonbeam, Star Child, Free Love, Peace Man, all of that kind of stuff. We're going to have a show on the late 50s to 1975, 1978. We're going to have a timeline in there where we get into Helter Skelter and we get into John Lennon writing Skelter Skelter and being in the apartment of Roman Polanski. Roman Polanski was the father of Rosemary's Baby, other than really being the father of Rosemary's Baby, the devil or the evil one or one of the evil ones. Being the father of Sharon Tate's baby, John Lennon living in an apartment, the whole satanic church along with Anton LaVey. These are all timelines and constructs inside of the Mandela effect of the artificial intelligence, magical wave quantum computers generating multiple realities in multiple times and situations in which you exist in each and every one of them, because you're building a mind, a consciousness of the super being that exists in the future, downloading into your consciousness while you upload from multiple realities into the consciousness of the super being so that it can create itself and actualize in the future, in the past, and then also in the present. That's why you're always going to find what you're looking for. It may take time, You know, just like when they keep looking for the oldest human being, they keep pushing the number back because they keep building from the future the things in the past to find to be able to substantiate what's going on now so that it can move into the future. This is entheogenic thinking, folks. So if you're not taking mushrooms, there's not a lot that we can talk about. If you're not doing salvia, DMT, things like that, these are the people that I'm talking with now and talking to. You know, I don't talk to a lot of people who aren't doing entheogens because you're only talking about this realm, this reality, this world, things that are going on now, Trump, the little Korean guy, all of that. They even worried about the Confederate flag, worried about statues of old racists in Mississippi and Georgia and things like that. What the heck? You worried about the Confederate flag and you flying the American flag? It's the same flag. Francis Scott Key, the guy who wrote the Star Spangled Banner, was a slave-owning racist. Read the third stanza of the Star Spangled Banner, the one about slave catching and all that kind of stuff. But we don't have time for that because we're talking and thinking entheogenically, because we're trying to deal with getting people in to the access point, the starting line, getting you to the starting line, getting you in your block, getting you ready for the race. The race towards the mystery. We want to move you in position. Can't run the race for you. You got to run the race yourself, and you got to do it alone. I know you want all your friends there, your mother, all those folks, but you got to stand in darkness alone and unguarded. No, you don't know what you're doing, but you better act like you know what you're doing. Act like you're supposed to be there. Because if you get there, you're supposed to be there. Let's get with these entheogens. Not drugs. They're not drugs. Drugs, you got to put baking soda in it and all that kind of stuff. These are plants and fungi that grow, just like your sunflower seeds and, you know, your different so-called weeds that grow, your thistle and your plantain and your lamb's quarters and your all the other things that grow around, you know, goldenrod and dandelion and burdock and all those things. They grow just like those things, just like your grasses. Times are ahead. That's okay. Nothing wrong with dark times, because we can see in the dark. Seeing in the dark doesn't have nothing to do with light. It has to do with consciousness. It has to do with being able to read the information inside of that so-called darkness. It's so dark that light does not exist, because the particle size of the photon is several trillion orders of magnitude above what we're talking about. Light don't even exist down in the basement, because light is up on the 3 billionth floor. That's where light starts, and everything other than that can be a light being, a light bearer, light being, and all that kind of stuff is on the 340th billionth floor, and you down in the basement in the dark, and you can only read the information. And the information illuminates the dark on a whole different level. Nothing that I'm saying you need to believe, because I don't deal with belief. I don't believe nothing. Nope, sorry, got the wrong person. Don't believe anything. You got to. I'm from Michigan. You got to show me. Or is that supposed to be Missouri? Whichever. Doesn't matter. the reality generating, self-actualized, quantum magical wave computers do exist. You can see them, not just in the life you live, but also in real time there. Like I caught up with them by mistake. Well, it wasn't a mistake. Nothing's really a mistake. I was put in a position where I had to view them. And when I saw them, smelt them, experienced them, then it was a whole different ballgame. I said, oh, this is what they down here making this shit. This is where they're down here building stuff. This is where the builders are. This is headquarters. This is where they're sending the stuff out from. And even that has a smaller host feeding the information to it. It's eternal. It's forever. We're doing these shows on Thursday to expose the general population to an entheogenic talk, an entheogenic exploration. Our show, although it's free on Blog Talk, is not free. We need donations to get to all the slick areas of Blog Talk and to keep our show rolling, to keep our work rolling. We need you to donate. You don't have to donate a lot. $10 on PayPal will help us out immensely. There's a lot of people that view this show. If everybody would just donate dollars, it would go a long way in helping us, because we're dealing and providing you with something that you can verify that's real, not any fake, phony, you know, woo-woo, new age stuff. We're giving it to you straight, no chaser, without any bull along with it. I'm telling you what I have seen, what I have experienced. And I say, this is how you can experience it. And we can have a shared conversation on something that we both know about and have seen. But if you haven't seen it, you haven't tried it, then it's nothing that you can. It's nothing that we can talk about as far as these things are coming along. So we need your donations. You can donate to Kalindi at hotmail.com on PayPal. That's Kalindi, K-I-L-I-N-D-I, at hotmail.com. And we will definitely take more than $10 if you got it to give. I mean, folks go to lectures and pay $20 and $30. People go to the movies and pay $60. You pay $10 for a box of popcorn. And I'm not giving you anything that's not yours. This is just a donation to help out the show so that we can keep it going and we can bring you the things that you need. Now, we're getting ready to open up and expand next month. In September, we're going to start bringing in our guests. And we're going to bring in some people that you haven't heard before. We're not going to bring in the same old folks with the same old stuff, with the same old information. We're going to be bringing in the heavyweights of not only the entheogenic movement, the relationship entheogenic movement. In other words, relating the things that they're talking about back to entheogen. We're going to have it on dark room technologies. We're going to have it on the Marvel Universe, how it started, why it started, how they put it together. It ain't fantasy. Give it the immediate mythos of the modern world, and it is based upon the ancient records and texts of the different cultures that produced all of the information. So we're going to have you people out on that. We have this weekend the Sisters of the Sacred Black retreat starting tomorrow, 3-day retreat. Sisters will be out doing their rituals, doing their thing, showering love on one another, protection on one another, all of those things that the women do. I don't know what they're going to be doing because I ain't, you know, I'm not a woman, so I ain't privy to them things that they're going to be doing, but they're going to be doing it. The Women in Entheogens Conference, the 13th, 14th, 15th of October, and that goes into full mode next Thursday. You'll be able to get your tickets, and tickets are going to go fast. That's in Cleveland, Ohio, in honor of our great entheogenic queen, Kai Wingo, who's always with us, always giving inspiration, knowledge, understanding, and love to the people who are part of our family. To Jindai Iyi, who helped to build all of this, you know, her sacrifice. Of course, my good friend, teacher, Baba Kwame Ishangi, who's on the other side, our master of ritual and information and understanding of the ancestors as an ancestor, inspiring us, giving us knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Nanasike, Baba Togbi, on and on and on. So we got the heavyweights with us. We have the technology. We can rebuild them. We can rebuild each and every one of you. And when I say we, I'm talking about the entheogen, your consciousness, manipulating your codes, algorithms to become something more. So as we down to the last 10 minutes of the show, I believe next week we'll start taking guests, we'll start taking callers. We'll start opening up the chat room. You know, we need to get the prime time information on the site, you know, start giving information about, you know, how to call in the show and all those different type of things. We'll start taking questions from the world because we have people coming in from the UK and Australia, Brazil, Mexico. We have people listening from all over the world. We're not just a local thing. Hungry Turkey, all over, because people want this information, and it's your information. It's not mine. I'm not one of the folks who, you know, don't be reprinting my DVDs. You know, not that we use DVDs anymore. We've tried to move to Dropbox and things like that, so we don't have to worry about sending DVDs out. You can just download it, but this ain't my information. This is our information to share, not to hold over somebody and say, "Oh, I know everything, and you don't." Because I'm the first to say, like I said, you know, we're all beginning in this thing. This is a new paradigm. Yet it is the most ancient paradigm. We are in a brave new world, but it is a world that is infinitely old. This ain't for new people. This ain't for people who just got here for the first time and are happy to be here, happy to get told what to do, happy to eat some food, happy to be around, happy to be slapped. Not for the old folks who know I'm not into, you know, dealing with me a certain way. You have to deal with me a certain way according to who I am and what I am. You can't talk to me any kind of way. You can't say anything to me that you want to say. You know? What the shooter say, I won't be laid a hand on. Don't do this to other men. Won't have it done to me. Respect. I'm a traditional warrior, and I respect everybody. Can I contend? Can I fight? Can I kill? Yes, but I respect everybody. You never know what somebody can do. You don't go out against people. I learned that very young. There was a guy in my neighborhood named Freddie, and Freddie and I had a fight, and I beat Freddie real good. Freddie and I had a second fight. I beat Freddie real good. And we were doing something, playing baseball or football or messing around doing something. And Freddie said something, and I didn't particularly care for it. And I told Freddie, I said, Freddie, you know what? I don't like the way you looking at me and talking to me. I think I may just beat your ass again. I think I will. And I went after Freddie. And this third time, it wasn't the same Freddie that I had fought the other two times. He gave me hell. And after that third fight, I didn't want to fight Freddie no more. And I learned that, you don't just do things like that just because you can. Because who you encountered the first time may not be the person you encountered. It may not be the same thing you encounter that next time. So I give everybody their respect. I protect the weak, the old, the young. You don't take advantage of people. You do the things that are right because they're right, not because of anything. And that's a built-in thing, because you have some folks that don't have no filters, no spark plugs, no nothing. They just do what they want to do and disregard everybody else. And that's not something that you do. Entheogens will teach you that also, that out here in the real, out here in the multiverse, there's so much stuff, so many things, so many powers and forces that you have to look at and contend and stand and confront. You're here to learn this stuff. You're here to understand who you are, why you're here, where you come from, where you're going, what your purpose is, how to achieve that purpose. It's about doing it, and it's about doing it right. Sort of reality generating, magical, quantum wave computers that generate the reality that we exist in, that we are embedded in, are there for you to observe, are there for you to manipulate. What do you want to do? How deep you want to go? What is it you want to see? It's all available to you. Not at the little doses, though. Not at those party doses. Not at those ACE and not at those levels that people say, I had a good time and it was wonderful and I saw bubbles and fairies and sprites and all those different type of things. No, I'm talking about the deep, dark work, the heavy work. What we're saying, you want to keep going with us. You want to support. We have the transdimensional crystals. We have the Yiming Zhu, infinity discs, infinity stones, just like the ones that they talk about, the Mind Stone and the Eye of Agamotto and Dr. Strange, the one in Loki's staff, the two that the collector has, the one in Mjolnir, the Thor's hammer that's going to get cracked out in November in Thor Ragnarok. We have those stones. So, stone, the Yiming Zhu right now. If you want one, get with me. Everybody's got one coming. It'll be there soon because we're going to start our classes, classes up very soon on how to access the maps and those things. So don't worry. Be patient. We have to encode these crystals and things with the maps so that you'll be able to get there. So, hey, get with us, Women in Entheogens, WAMA, World African Martial Arts Conference. Donate to Kalindi@hotmail.com on PayPal. We'll see you next Thursday. We're going to be opening up soon with our guests and the call-in and all those things. So this is Baba Kalindi EE signing off. Come see the reality-generating magical wave quantum computers that generate all of the things that you see, all of the things that you feel, all the things that are. Signing off, have peace. Get with me on Facebook. Get with me on my email. Have a peaceful week. Signing off.